Good morning, and welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Mueller's chosen for a sermon topic, Wine, Milk, and Rich Food, based on Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 5. And Maria Miller's at the console of the piano this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. So happy to be with you this morning. So good that God has brought us together to worship Him. He has brought us as one body and as one people to come together to share a fellowship with one another and to worship our great God together. It is wonderful to be with you today. And I pray that we can lift up our voices together now with one voice singing our first song, number 895. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Dearly beloved, upon your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained a servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 9. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus had heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's a strange job of a preacher that his job is not so much as to bring you up to the price. That is, his job isn't to try and make you to pay more than what you first expected, but rather it's to bring you down to the price. This is, of course, the exact opposite of what the world does. You look around the world today, and there's no shortage of advertisements. You look at these salesmen and infomercials, and their job is always the same, to bring you up to accept their price. The car salesman tries to bring you up, trying to convince you of their higher price. You might be willing to pay such and such a price, but for them, that is too low. And so they must convince you to come up, to match their price. And so with persuasive tactics, they begin saying, "Oh, this car is so reliable. Oh, these cars, they're leaving our lot so quickly. This car, this is a popular model, and you're not going to find a better price anywhere else." Now, in infomercials, they do the same thing. You know, act now, in the next 4 minutes and 57 seconds, and we'll throw in this free bag with every purchase. Did we tell you this bag is retails for $100? Again, all of these tactics aim to bring you up to the seller's desired price, trying to convince you to pay what you might not have been willing to pay before. But it is the preacher's strange job, again, to bring you down to the price, always trying to convince you, to persuade you to come and buy without money, to leave behind your money and to come buy without price, God says. In our Old Testament reading, Isaiah likens the preacher to a merchant who's standing in the marketplace. He has all of his goods on display, all of the promises and graces of God he is willing to sell you. And he begins crying aloud, "Come buy without money." There are many people today who seek to buy God's favor. They come before the Lord, perhaps truly desiring his love. And they may genuinely want his gifts. They might crave for his protection and peace. They might want his faithfulness, his forgiveness, his love and mercy. But the problem with so many is that they come with their hands full of currency. Not necessarily with money, but they come filled with their hands full of good deeds. They just won't leave them behind. They always want to buy God's favor with acts of faithfulness. Or perhaps they come before him with their prayers numbered. They come confident before him in the number of church services that they've attended, with all the good works they've ever done, with the number of dollars that they have put in the offering plate. Many people come to God in this way, offering him their heaping mounds of good deeds and prayers. But here we are told that to come before the Lord, we must come empty-handed. For as soon as Christ sees anything in your hands to pay for his grace, he is immediately going to turn you away. For you must come down to this price, to come without price. The Lord will have nothing to do with us until we do go. As the hymn says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. How difficult is the preacher's job to sell the gospel, trying to convince people to come empty-handed, to persuade people to leave their good deeds behind. That is truly one of the most difficult jobs imaginable. Because so many people, even self-proclaimed Christians, they view their relationship with God based, at least in some measure, upon their works. It's like we are refusing to come empty-handed. And so do I ask you, dear friends, this morning, do you think that God's love towards you ebbs and flows depending upon your works? Or do you believe that God loves you less on the day in which you have sinned, a grievous sin? Or that God must love you less upon the day in which you have relapsed again into your struggled sin? Beloved, if you think that's the case, then I must convince you to come down to this price. For God's grace is free, and His love and His mercies can never be bought, not even with good works, not even with prayers and offerings or church attendance. Come and buy without price, God says. For the foundation of our relationship with the Lord must rest squarely upon the precious blood of Christ. How firm is the foundation that Jesus has laid with His own precious blood and righteousness? And it is upon His unchanging nature as a God of love, a God of grace and mercy, that we may come before Him. Even on our worst days, the Lord shall love us nonetheless, for His love is without price. And if you are truly His child by grace alone, through faith alone, then His love remains ever constant towards you. It wanes not. It is like a never-ceasing river. His love is a raging torrent of grace that shall never dry up. For by grace through faith, the Lord God looks upon us as being in Jesus. And He sees you today washed clean from all of your sins, whether they be past sins, present sins, or even our future sins. Through Jesus' death on the cross, forgiveness has been placed on the entirety of your life. Even your future sins have been wiped from the memory of God when we come before Him now as humble, dependent, and empty-handed, with nothing in our hands to bring, but simply to the cross to cling. Well, if you look at this passage as a whole, we see God's grace likened to all sorts of nourishing things. In one verse, it's likened to water and wine and milk. And in verse 2, it's likened to bread and rich food. I want to look at a few of these descriptions in a moment. But it's first important that we think of the gospel as a nourishing thing in general. Because truly, all life needs to be sustained by some kind of food or another. Every living creature needs to be sustained and nourished from a source from outside of itself. There is not a single creature that has the intrinsic characteristic of life within itself. To be honest, God is the only person who has this self-containment within himself. He is the eternal one, and he is the one from everlasting to everlasting. We are told that he is a God of life, as life has always been an intrinsic part of who he is. His very nature is one of a lively being, for he receives his life source from nothing, from outside of himself. Rather, being self-contained, self-consisting, and self-existing for all eternity. He is himself perfect and complete, reliant upon nothing else. But by contrast, dear friends, every other creature, you and me, must derive their life source from outside of themselves. No one can live without receiving such a constant replenishment from without. Every minute you and I are dependent upon the air that we breathe. Every day we are dependent upon the water that we drink. Every week we must get our needed vitamins and minerals to be replenished day by day. That same thing is true for every living thing, whether they be plants or animals, needing sunlight, rain, or nutrients. Without this replenishment, every creature shall soon pine away. And that is true for our spiritual life as well. Our spiritual life must get its constant replenishment, lest it too should faint. Or perhaps even worse, for truly lack of good food is the cause of so many diseases in our world which lead to death. But that is why this invitation in Isaiah is so glorious. In the second half of verse 2, God says, "Listen diligently to me." The Lord is calling for our utmost attention here, for this is of utmost importance. And that is this, that he has something incredibly good to share with us, to replenish our spiritual lives. He has wine and milk and rich food. It's fascinating how God likens the gospel to those three things. If you would think about wine for a moment, what would you say about it other than this? That wine gladdens the heart. The Psalms say that God gives bread to strengthen a man, he gives oil to make his face shine, and he gives wine to gladden his heart. Solomon writes in Proverbs saying, "Give strong drink to the man who's ready to perish, and give wine to those whose hearts are heavy." And the gospel is like wine in this way, that it brings joy and happiness to Christians. In this valley of tears here below, the gospel lightens a man's countenance. It fills the Christian with hope and with the assurance of God's unchanging love. Come and buy this cheering wine of the gospel without money and without price. And then secondly, God likens the gospel to milk. And again, for very good reason. I went with Maria this past week to Warrensburg. The hospital there put on a breastfeeding class for all the expectant mothers. And it's so incredible how one of the first things that the nurse told us was that in the first couple of months of life, A baby doesn't need anything except breast milk. The baby won't need water, won't need solids, won't need juice or any food whatsoever. The milk has within itself everything it needs, which pertains to life. It's good for hydration, for its calories and energy, for its nutrients and protein. It has within itself all that you need for a strong heart, for healthy bones, and for a solid frame. Breast milk even has antibodies to help babies to fight off diseases. Again, what a fitting picture that is for the gospel. For it contains all the essentials for spiritual life. Everything that's needed for a healthy spiritual life, you may find it here. If you need something to bear you up in trouble, it is the gospel of God who says, "I'm a very present help in times of trouble." Or if you need something to hold you fast in the midst of temptation, in Christ Jesus we are said to be more than conquerors. There is no passion, no affection, and no power that we will ever need that is not given in the milk of God's holy gospel. And the last thing which God likens his gospel to is that of rich food. Now, one could easily preach an entire sermon on this one verse where God says to eat that which is good. I say that God says that, but really you can think of it as God is here begging and pleading. He is here reasoning and even commanding for us to eat rich food. A strange creature man is, that he must be directed to eat that which is good. In the Old Testament, the Israelites are described as feeding upon wind. They open their mouths to the east wind, looking to be filled. And again, we find in Scripture the epitome of insanity when man is described as if feeding upon ashes. Here is a feast, though, of good, life-giving food. And it is found only here in the gospel. Here the soul may feed and find its life for all eternity. And the good news of Jesus Christ dying for the forgiveness of sins. And the news of Jesus being our substitute to pay the penalty for our sin. It is the gospel that is rich food for us. How many people simply look these days to just be entertained by preachers? They think of a doctrine as if it's not really their thing. They think that all of these deeper truths of God are not really worth our time and energy, as if these deeper truths are not practical. They're not helpful or meaningful in our day-to-day lives. But truly, God says the very opposite thing in Scripture. For he assures us that all of Scripture is God-breathed, and that it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Many people come to church and have a feast of deep spiritual truths laid bare right before them. But instead of having their fill, they refuse to take a bite of anything except perhaps the kids' meal. Dear friends, everything God has spoken, everything he said as a way to reveal himself to us is for our good. That is what is described as rich food. Let no one go to the church or go to the place to be entertained, where the preacher just begins every sermon with jokes. What a foolish animal man is. Even baby lambs, scarcely having come into the world, they know where to find good food for their bodies. And yet the spiritual man pines away in a spiritual starvation. Without feeding, what hope may we have to fight temptation? Without this replenishment, how can we possibly run and not grow weary, and walk and not faint? We love these verses and we cling to them in hope, but somehow we forget that it is God's word that replenishes us. And it is our reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting it that gives us the strength in these trying times. And so I pray, dear friends, that you would come down to this price of spiritual food. Come down to the price of being absolutely free and receive the free grace of the Lord. To believe his promises and to accept them and to eat and meditate upon it, to chew upon it as a cow chews its cud. For Jesus has given his promises to you, and he has sealed it with his precious blood, strengthening you on your journey to everlasting life. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And at this time, we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are full of grace and truth, and your grace is poured out freely upon all who come before you in faith. Lead us with humble spirits to rest ourselves upon your care. Help us to rest solely upon your goodness. And we ask that you would remove from us any sense of of self-worthiness. Lord, comfort us to know that our relationship with you is not dependent upon our works, but upon your free gift of mercy. Lead us to live upon the sure foundation of what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious God, as you invite us to come before you, you invite us to have our fill, to be strengthened and nourished with the word of your promises. As you have revealed yourself in mighty and awesome ways through your word, lead us to study them. Continue to reveal yourself to us and help us to see your glory and your perfections. As we study your word, give us the spiritual strength to resist temptation, to live by the power and promptings of your spirit, to live holy and pleasing lives to you in return. We ask that you would sustain us with spiritual power and zeal, that we may love you and that we may love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of all peace and comfort, we ask that you would guard your children and protect the people of your creation. As world conflicts continue, we ask that you would bring peace to the lives of your people. Use your children to be a source of comfort for security and hope to all those around them. You are the God of all hope, and we pray that your spirit of joy would be poured out upon all flesh. Those who are in a battle and in dangerous positions, send your hedge of protection to sustain life. And let goodness and justice prevail, and we ask that you would curb those who seek to do evil. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we thank you for all your loving kindness as you daily provide for all of our needs. We thank you for food, clothing, land, animals, house, and home. We thank you for life and strength. And we especially thank you, Lord, for the safe delivery of Amelia Kincaid this last week. Be with the parents, Kathleen and Ryan. Give them rest and joy and strength and healing. Thank you for being so merciful and full of loving kindness towards them. And we ask of you now, Lord, that you would continue to be gracious to all of us. For those who are hurting, we ask that you would grant comfort. For those who are on our hearts and minds and prayer list, grant your peace, which surpasses understanding. Sustain life and well-being, and for those who we name silently now before you. God of life, bring healing to those hurting in mind, body, and spirit, and according to your will, give us longevity to serve you and to serve one another in this life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily life. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, oh, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 652.